Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Yeah. None of us are getting younger, are we? I'm sorry. Shouldn't even make an observation like that, huh? Oh, well. But, you know the church has a milestone coming up, and Kathy and I are going to be back for that on September 17th, I believe it is, the 50th anniversary, right? So we're looking forward to that, and it'll be a time of celebrating the past and embracing the future. So look forward to seeing all of you, along with all the guests who will be joining us for that time. Just want to mention, one of the things I'm doing in this season of my life, along with occasionally having an opportunity to minister at churches where pastors are on vacation, and then to be an interim pastor. We just finished 10 months out at Scottsdale Assembly of God, which is south of New Stanton, and they now have a new pastor, so we're thankful for that. But one of the other things I get to do is I get to teach at PEDSUM, which is Pendel School of Ministry. And I left some of the brochures are back there on the table with my books. But PEDSUM has a three-year ministerial training course, but they also have a Bible Institute for those of you who just may want courses to get to know the Word of God better and to learn and grow. That's a wonderful way to do that. So you could choose the ministerial track, which would be 3 years if you walked all the way through it, or you could just say, I want to take the Bible Institute courses, which basically, not during the summer, but during the rest of the year, it means each month you're studying a different subject, and then on one of the Saturdays that month, you're gathering with all of the rest of those who are studying that subject for a one-day class event, so that you have some, interaction kind of learning opportunities. So if that's an interest for you, stop back there and grab one of those brochures and take it along with you, because it may be that the Holy Spirit is stirring something in your heart about getting more equipped or learning more of the Word of God, growing in some spiritual way in your life. So just want to encourage you. And if you stick with it long enough, you may end up with me as one of your teachers. Who knows? So how many of you in your journey through life have ever been tempted to give up? Yeah, you can all join me in raising your hands, can't you? Because along the way, we've all faced that temptation. So this morning, the message is, don't give up. Say that with me. Don't give up. Turn and tell somebody, don't give up. Now, specifically, we're going to talk about not giving up in faith and in persistent prayer, but not giving up applies to all different aspects of life. A few years ago, I read a research book written by Jeff Colvin, who is a longtime senior editor at Fortune magazine. And the book is entitled, Talent is Overrated. And it addresses the myth that says to make it in life, you have to be born with talent. And I don't know how many of you have ever heard that or maybe even believed that myth. From history and from current brain function studies, Jeff Colvin debunks the idea that some people are just lucky genetically and that's why they excel. And I found the book very intriguing and interesting because the brain research that he cites in that book was done with musicians. It was done with basketball players. It was done with writers. It was done with ice skaters and chess players and football players and communicators and business owners and leaders in every strata of society. And the results of his research demonstrated that hard work and persistence, or perseverance, is the key to excelling. And he says this: a person's life potential is developed through persistent effort. A person's life potential is developed through persistent effort. And he talks about how it takes persistent practice or repetition for the brain to achieve mastery of a skill. And one of the illustrations for that is with New York City cab drivers. And this is back in the day before, you know, we had all the electronics to help us find our way, you know, through the city, where you could just punch an address in and it would tell you how to go. New York City cab drivers had to create a map in their brain of the city so that anybody who would get in their cab and say, here's where I want to go, they would automatically know, here is the route I take, here are the streets I take, here's what I do to get them to their destination. And he said it took a cab driver anywhere from 2 years to 3 years of persistent effort to develop that brain map so that they knew their way very well around New York City. I can't even imagine, because the times that I have been to New York City, I have found myself praying, God help me to figure out how to get to where I want to go. And if you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then he talks about mastering a language skill or growing in reading skills. And I've spent, obviously, a lot of my life talking, not all of it, but I've spent a good bit of it talking. And you know what? I'm still learning new words. Are you still learning new words? In fact, whenever I'm reading a book and I come across the word that I don't know, I, you know, click on it so that the definition comes up and usages of it come up so I can, you know, add that word to my vocabulary, or at any event, at least understand what I'm reading. And if I only did 1 hour of reading a day since the time I learned how to read as a young boy, I figured that if I only did 1 hour reading a day, and I used to do much more than that. In fact, I would get in trouble because at night I would be underneath my covers with a flashlight reading a book. And can any of you relate to that? Yeah, and I'd get caught, you know, reading a book because I just couldn't put it down. But if I only did 1 hour reading a day, that would total over 27,000 hours already in my life. So imagine that. So how does that relate to prayer? And you're probably wondering, where's Pastor John going with all of this? So how does this relate to prayer? Is prayer meant to be just a casual, off-the-cuff, or last recourse aspect of life? You know, we say, well, you know, I guess all we can do now is pray. You ever caught yourself saying that? As if, you know, I've tried everything else. There's nothing left to do. But we're just going to have to pray. You know, we're just going to have to trust God. And so is that what prayer is? Or is prayer a spiritual habit to be cultivated, developed, and practiced as life's first step in every aspect of living? Or let me ask the question this way. Is prayer meant to be a language of faith that we keep learning and growing in all through our lives? Is prayer meant to be a language of faith that we keep learning and growing in all through our lives? I believe so. For example, should we pray about who we marry the night before our wedding? You know, when we're nervous, yeah, you should pray then, but hopefully you started praying before then, right? Is it something that we should start praying about as the first step when we even think about the fact that I'd like to be married? I mean, we started praying for our children's spouses when our children were still children, because we knew that next to the choice of serving Jesus, the most important life choice was who they would marry. And so, you know, our children are married, and now we're praying for our grandchildren, who 5 out of 9 are married. And we're also praying now for our great-grandchildren, who we now have 10 of. Imagine that. And so we're praying for them. I don't know if we'll live long enough to see any of them get married, but we're praying because somewhere in the future, if God, you know, doesn't end all of this on this planet, they're going to be walking down the aisle with somebody. So our story today is about persistent prayer. It's about perseverance when it comes to praying through, not giving up, and taking hold of God's answers for our lives. So I'm going to go to Luke chapter 18 and read a familiar story to you beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So when I read this story, I find myself thinking about how the character trait of perseverance is so important to every victory that you and I experience in life. So let me take you back to a story that probably most of us are familiar with, in Numbers chapter 11, where God's people, remember, they wanted to quit and they wanted to go back to where? To Egypt, right. And they were complaining. They were complaining about the leader God had given them. They were complaining about God. They were complaining about the food. They were complaining about the weather. They were complaining about the journey. And they fell into complaining so easily. Whenever they faced any kind of difficulty in life, they first began to complain. And God kept patiently correcting them. So what was he trying to teach them? I believe one of the things God was trying to grow in them was a persevering spirit. God knew they would not be ready for the challenges they would face in the future that he desired for them unless they learned how to overcome complaining and learned how to persevere in faith. And isn't that true for all of us? That we have to learn how to overcome complaining and how to persevere in faith? I mean, is that your need today so that you can take hold of what God desires for you? Do you need to overcome complaining? You know, I find as I get older, there's a lot more things to complain about. Have any of you discovered that? And it's easy to fall into that instead of first going to God. So do you need to overcome complaining? Because, you know, this could be a moment for you to confess and just tell Jesus, "I need to overcome complaining." So why don't we try this out? Say it with me. "I need to overcome complaining." See, that wasn't too bad, right? And that's something you can make a prayer in your life. And if we come into the New Testament and we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see that, you know, there's a whole list of warnings from Israel's history. And then in verse 11, it says, These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us. And the warning is about the fact that they failed to persevere, and as a result, they failed to receive the promise. They forfeited their future to grumbling and whining and complaining. So think with me about how all of this relates to prayer and to the story that Jesus told to illustrate perseverance in prayer. And I wonder, you know, what I have forfeited because I complained instead of praying. You know, what about you? I mean, this story is for all of us, isn't it? This story is for me. This story is for you. This story is for the person seated next to you. It's for all of us. So Jesus illustrates this with this parable about the persistent widow, and he tells us what the parable means in verse 1. Unlike some of his other parables, where remember after he would tell the parable, the disciples would say, what does that mean? Well, you don't have to figure out what this one means because Jesus very forthrightly, right away says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray, say it with me, always pray and not give up. So we don't have to ask what the story's about, do we? Jesus tells us it's about praying and not giving up. It's about persisting. It's about perseverance and determination. The parable has one point. Always pray and don't give up. The parable is not about the nature of God. Jesus is not saying that God is like this unrighteous secular judge who this widow had to pest and keep bugging him in order to get justice. Jesus is saying that if an unrighteous judge will do what's right when a woman like this perseveres in pursuing him, how much more will your request be heard by your Father in heaven when you persevere in seeking him, because your Father in heaven loves you and cares about you supremely, and he will do what is right by you when you cry out to him. So the widow in this story was persistent. There was no quit in her. So what about me? What about you? What would it look like for you to have a holy desperation that pursues the promises of God for your life and for your church? Because sometimes we're tempted to give up on what God has for us, and sometimes we're tempted to give up on what God has for his church, right? Because it requires persistence and hard work. Sometimes it's easier to quit when the going gets tough. Think about another biblical story with me that's found in Luke chapter 5. There were four men who carried their paralytic friend to Jesus. Remember this story? Only to discover that they couldn't get into the house because of the size of the crowd. So did they quit and go home? Did they say, you know what, it was a great idea we had, and, you know, we wanted to help our friend, and we had this wonderful idea, but, you know, it can't be done. There's too many obstacles in the way. They didn't do that. They looked for another way. They persisted. And you know the story. They cut a hole in the roof. They lowered their friend down in front of Jesus. They kept on seeking for an answer. You know, they kept on maybe in their hearts asking, how else can we get our friend to Jesus? How else can we do this? Sometimes in our personal lives as well as in the church, we resist the new things that God wants to do. And sometimes we say, why do that? And we don't want to pay the price to persevere and see it through and receive God's answer. But what if we had a different attitude? What if we had this attitude? Why not? Why not? If this is for God and his kingdom, why not? Why not pursue God's plans for our future? Why not go after his promises for us? Why not believe for, or pray for, or ask for, or seek for, or persevere in that which advances his kingdom in our personal lives as well as in his church? Why not? Why not? Say it with me. Why not? Do you know that's God's heart toward us also? That God has a persevering spirit? That it's part of his nature to not give up? Boy, there's a lot of us that wouldn't be here this morning if God gave up as easily as we do at times, right? Isn't that right? But God has a persevering spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27 tells us that the Spirit of God who lives in us intercedes for us according to God's will. In other words, the Holy Spirit is praying hard for you and for me. The Holy Spirit is praying hard for this church, for Bethel Assembly, and God's desired future for Bethel Assembly. The Holy Spirit is praying hard for that. And long before any of us got up this morning, God's Spirit was praying for God's will for your life and for this service. Do you believe that? So what would happen if you joined your voice in agreement with God's will for your life? What would happen if you embraced the attitude of, why not? I'm going to pursue God's desires for me. I'm going to give myself to God so that his will can be done in my life. I'm going to overcome the obstacles that are in the road to God's future for me. I'm going to persevere and see God's will done in his church. Isn't that a great attitude to have? In James 5, 16 to 18, we're reminded of the story of Elijah, and this is another illustration. He persevered in praying for rain. And remember, six times he sent his servant to look and check out the clouds, and there was no visible results. And I don't know about you, but that's often where we grow weary, right? I mean, you're as human as I am. Do you ever grow weary? And you're just like, okay, Lord, I give up. I'm not seeing what I want to see, so I guess it's not going to happen. But Elijah kept praying because he knew that God had promised rain. Now, that was a key to his perseverance. He knew what God had promised. He did not allow circumstances to deter him, and he won this battle in persistent prayer. So another question for us here. Have you allowed your circumstances to get between you and God? Or by faith, are you putting God between you and your circumstances? What if Elijah had quit instead of persevering? So easy to give up on our dreams, isn't it? So easy to give up on God. And we lose patience, we lose heart, we lose faith, and then we lose hope. And instead of crying out to God, we end up just going through religious rituals. So let me ask you this morning, is there some dream that God wants to resurrect in your life? Is there some dream that you gave up on? And the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, I want to infuse new life in that dream. I want to put new hope in your heart for that dream. Is there some promise that you need to take hold of again today? Is there some miracle that you need to start pursuing in prayer? Is there some mission that God has for Bethel Assembly that you need to give yourself to once again? And say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready to serve you and pursue your will being done in your church. I don't know if you've read any of Mark Batterson's writings, but he makes this observation. He says, the reason that many of us give up too soon is because we feel like we have failed if God doesn't answer our prayer. That isn't failure. And then he says, the only way you can fail is to stop praying. The only way you can fail is to stop praying. The only way you can fail is to stop praying. So the only way I can fail is to stop praying. Let's just say that together. The only way I can fail is to stop praying. So this morning, what's in my heart is to teach from this story, but also to encourage from this story, and also to challenge you from this story that Jesus shares. And I want to encourage you to not give up, no matter how weary you might feel right now. I want to encourage you to not give up. The Holy Spirit wants to encourage you to not give up, to develop a godly spirit of determination. Now, you may say, I don't know how to pray about, and fill in the blank, anymore. I prayed about this over and over and over and over, and I just don't know how to pray about it anymore. And I'm not suggesting that you make up some prayer formula, or you just start arbitrarily telling God what your future should look like because you've decided what you want it to look like. And I'm not talking about making something up as a test case for God, like, God, if you really love me, then here's what you will do. I'm not talking about that. Rather, start reading and praying God's word. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you through the Bible. Read the Psalms. Start praying what you are reading. You might even feel inspired to highlight some scripture that really speaks to you about your life or that speaks to you about this church and what you believe God is asking you to pray about. So make the Bible your prayer book. Do you remember how the first century church did this when they were accused and threatened? Do you remember in Acts chapter 4 when they gathered to pray after they had been threatened? They said, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? And notice how they described the motivation behind praying God's word back to him. Because that's what they were doing. They were praying God's word back to him. They said, the Holy Spirit wrote these words. The Holy Spirit, you spoke through the Holy Spirit. So somebody in their group, in this prayer meeting, remembered this passage from Psalm 2 that fit right into their scenario at that current moment, and they began to pray that back to God. And praying the Bible back to God infuses power in our prayers because we're turning to his promises for our particular needs, and we're glorifying him in his word. There's a psalm in my Bible that's all marked up, and it's Psalm 31. And the reason that that psalm is all marked up in my Bible is that I spent a couple years praying through that psalm during a very difficult and painful time in my life. I needed to hold on to God's promises and not quit because quitting was so tempting. And Psalm 31 became my prayer book for that two-year journey through that pain and that temptation to quit. And so even when I go back and I read Psalm 31 now, it just reminds me of so many things that God walked with me through. It's like almost like a prayer journal kind of psalm for me. I read it and I think about the circumstances in which I was praying it and how faithful God was. And maybe you need to start a prayer journal. Maybe you need to jot some dates down when you started praying about a particular circumstance and then pray what you believe God is speaking into your life. And when the devil fights against you, because he will, when the devil fights against you, resist him with God's word and also with the testimony of God's goodness in your life. Now, notice the hard question that Jesus asked at the end of this parable in verse 8. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I like the way the Message words this question. It says, how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on earth when he returns? So how will you answer that question in your life? Because Jesus asked it of all of his disciples, so he asked it of us. So how will you answer that question? So remember the persistent widow here in Luke 18. Remember your loving Heavenly Father who has goodness stored up for you. Psalm 31:19 says that. Remember that the only way you can fail is to stop praying and ask the Holy Spirit to put a no-quit spirit in you. Amen? Ask the Holy Spirit to put a no-quit spirit in you. No matter what it is you're facing this morning, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, put a no-quit spirit in me. Would you say that out loud with me? Holy Spirit, put a no-quit spirit in me. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning, if you would. So we're not at the close yet. And even though some of you who remember me from years ago might say, Pastor, you used to preach a lot longer then. We're not at the close yet because I want us to have time to pray for one another. And I'm going to ask Joe and any of the other worship team that would come at the close. I want us to have time to pray for one another, to pray for the future of this church, to pray for this community, to pray for the lost people that Jesus wants to save. You all have lost people in your lives that Jesus wants to save, right? Now, Kathy and I have this growing list of over 25 people that we pray for almost every day and have been for years. And the majority of them don't know Jesus or they've walked away from him. And we just keep praying because God's not willing that any should perish. So that's our promise. We keep praying because we know what God's will is. He is not willing that any should perish. So if you have people in your life who you've been praying for a long time, I just want you to come forward. Would you do that? You have people in your life you've been praying for a long time. Come on. Just come forward. Stand here in the front. If you're praying for a parent, or for a son, or a daughter, or a spouse, would you come forward and join this group? Would you do that? If you're praying for a grandchild, would you come forward and join this group? See, there's going to be a bunch of us up here this morning, aren't there? Yeah. If you're praying for a friend or a neighbor, some work situation, some financial need in your life, some health issue, come on, you come and join this group. You have a health issue you've been praying for. You're dealing with depression or anxiety. You're dealing with fear. You've been praying about that. Come on and join this group here this morning. Come and do that. Hallelujah. And anything else that maybe I didn't mention, but the Holy Spirit is kind of tugging on your heart and saying, here's something that you've been asking God for a long time. I just want to ask you to come because we want to pray with you. We want to agree with you. So if that's you, just come and join all of these who are already up here this morning. Now, some of you have people and situations you've been praying about for many years, right? Am I right about that? Some of you have some things you've been praying about for many years. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, don't give up. Jesus is saying to you, don't give up. He wants to help you when you're weary. Whether you're weary emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever. He wants to help you to not give up. So would you begin to maybe reach out to somebody in front of you or next to you and place a hand on their shoulder, because we need one another, right? One of the ways we make it through this journey without quitting and giving up is by having people in our lives who are praying with us and for us too, right? Because walking this journey alone makes the temptation to give up a whole lot stronger, doesn't it? The enemy tries to isolate us so that he can intimidate us and wear us down and get us to give up. So let's just begin to pray for each other. Would you do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we just begin to pray for one another. We join hands. We join hearts. We reach out to each other in faith today in the mighty name of Jesus. We call upon your name. You are the God who never quits. You are the God who never gives up. Oh, God, so many of us are here this morning because you did not give up on us, and we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you don't give up on your people. You don't give up on your church. We thank you for that, Lord. You love us. You love your church. Lord, you have a plan. You have a purpose. You have something you want to bring to pass. Lord, something that we have not yet received the answer for, but Lord, we're going to do what you taught us to do. You said to always pray and not give up. So Holy Spirit, put that no quit spirit in us. Holy Spirit, come and strengthen our faith. Holy Spirit, come once again and Lord, bring to life dreams that, Lord, we have set aside. Lord, the hopes and aspirations and things that we have prayed about in the past and then we've just let go of them. Bring them back to life in our spirits today, Lord. We pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that, Lord, some of us have dreams for not only ourselves or our future, but for our children or for grandchildren or for a friend or a neighbor or some other family member. Father, we just lift that before your throne. Oh, God, there are parents here this morning whose hearts are broken because there were dreams and prayers they prayed for their children, and they're still waiting to see them come to pass. And, Lord, they're hurt by some of the choices that they see. I pray that you will reignite faith in their hearts and hope in their hearts. Oh, God, expectation in their hearts. Lord, you will show them how to pray. I pray you will give promises from your word to your people that they can take hold of, Lord, that they can stand upon the word of God, that they can speak your word back to you in prayer, that thus saith the Lord, this is what you have said, Lord, and we are praying it. We are agreeing with it, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, God, we're praying for that in the mighty name of Jesus. We're calling upon you, Lord. We're calling upon you, Lord. Let us hear your voice today as you say to us, don't give up. Let us hear your voice today, Lord, as we say to you, as you say to us, don't give up. Don't give up, Lord. You've called us to not give up. You have called us to always pray and not give up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these, my brothers and sisters here this morning. Encourage their hearts. Encourage their faith. Strengthen them by your Holy Spirit in their inner being, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for that. Thank you for that, Lord, that we can depend upon you. We are not alone, Lord. Lord, this is not about us trying to prove how strong we are. This is about us surrendering to you and believing that greater is he that is within us than he who is within the world. You're our victor. You're our conqueror. You're our overcoming King. Oh, Jesus, we cry out to you. We cry out to you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, all across this sanctuary this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and minister encouragement. Come and minister faith. Come and minister hope. I pray that, Lord, come and speak your word into our lives. Lord, when we leave here today, Lord, there's something we're holding on to that we're saying, here is what I'm going to hold on to. I'm not quitting. This is something I'm going to continue to pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for that. We praise you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit has spoken something very specific to some of your hearts today. Maybe it's a verse from God's word that he's just dropped in your spirit that he wants you to hold on to. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken a reminder to you of something that he put in your heart to believe for years ago, and he's drawing you back to it. He's drawing you back to it. He's reawakening it in you. The Holy Spirit has given some of you a plan that here are steps in prayer you need to take in praying for a certain situation or a certain person. Here's a scripture that you need to hold on to as you pray about that. I want to encourage you to not let go of that. And you might need to write it down before you leave here today so that the devil doesn't rob it away from you. Because if you're like me, sometimes if I don't write something down, I'm spending hours trying to remember what it was that I know that God dropped in my heart and I didn't write it down and now I can't remember it. So write it down before you leave today. Whatever it may be the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, write it down before you leave. Joe, before the benediction, we have a song maybe we can sing together just to encourage us. Strengthen us as we worship the Lord.
He is faithful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you and praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He never gives up on us, does he? Hallelujah. Maybe God wants to start something new in your life, so remember these Pendel School of Ministry brochures are back there for you. And I just want to speak a blessing over you, church. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you, church. Walk in what God spoke into your heart this morning. Amen.